It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Glad to be here with you. My name is Walker Wildman, and I'm sitting in for Sandy Rios this morning. Glad to have you here tuning in to American Family Radio, this Wednesday morning edition, just about under 2 weeks away from Christmas, December 13th, I believe. Yep, December 12th. Yep. Appreciate it. That's why
12.
I got Rob here. Appreciate it, Rob.
12. That's amazing.
Rob Gardner here helping me produce the show, and glad to have Rob here with me. December 12th, so 13 days away from Christmas Day.
That's where you got the 13th, wasn't it?
There you go, exactly.
There's always a message in it.
There you go. And 12 days away from Christmas Eve, so that's all I'll remember this time of year while we celebrate Christmas. The gifts are good, the food's good, the family time's great. But the real reason we celebrate it all is because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin and lived a sinless life so that he could take our place, take our sins on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
That's why we celebrate Christmas, and the gift giving is actually a sign, it's symbolic, of the greatest gift of all, and that is Christ Jesus' life for us. So let's remember that this Christmas season, I was going to say this holiday season, but it's Christmas season, and then after Christmas, we can talk about New Year's. But in the meantime, it's Christmas season. One scripture I wanted to draw our attention to, this is in Mark chapter 1. If you listened to me on Brian Fisher's show on Monday, I talked about this. Well, I talked about something else in the book of Mark, chapter 1. But I want to transition to Mark. We're still in chapter 1, but I want to move to verse 35, and this is the scripture about Jesus praying in a solitary place. You know, you read throughout scripture oftentimes where, whether it be Jesus speaking or others, about how we need to go into our quiet place, we need to go into our closet, they say, and we need to pray. And there's even scripture about, you know, not making it a habit of praying publicly so you would get praise from man. Because that's what the Pharisees and the religious leaders used to do, is they would walk down the street, praying, and they were doing it not because they wanted to communicate with God, but they were doing it because they wanted everyone around them to say, oh, look at how holy they are. Look at how righteous they are. And so we face the same problems today, the same sin struggles that the Pharisees and religious leaders and others dealt with back then, we still deal with today. So let's make sure that our prayer is about communicating with God and being in constant communication with God's Word. But the scripture that I want to read here, which is very important, is Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and it's very short here. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And then it goes on to talk about the rest of the context, which is, it says, verse 36, Simon and his companions went to look for him, went to look for Jesus, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." And then verse 38, Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. And so Jesus here wakes up early in the morning. Some of you might be early risers. I'm not naturally an early riser, but I'm forced to because I have an 18-month-old child. And so I've gotten used to waking up early. But Jesus here wakes up early, probably before the sun's up. I mean, that's pretty well given. And Jesus goes out to a solitary place. It doesn't say where he went. I would say he probably, knowing Jesus, he may have went out in the wilderness. You know, he may have walked out of town a mile or two, or he just could have gone, you know, just walking down the street. Who knows where Jesus went here? It doesn't say. But Simon and his companions wake up in the house where they were sleeping with Jesus, and they're nervous. They don't know where Jesus is, and they finally find Jesus, and they say, "Everyone has been looking for you." And so, may it be that one day, sometimes that people in our home will wake up and go, "Where is Rob? Where is Walker?" And maybe they'll find us praying to God. So that's an encouraging note, but it goes to the point that I said from the beginning, and that is prayer is about interceding for ourselves and for others, and it is about communicating with God and showing our respect and our obedience and praise to God, and it's not about recognition or doing it for man. And so that's a friendly reminder here about prayer. Moving on into the content for today, a lot of things going on in Washington, D.C. And yesterday, we had an interesting scenario where President Trump brought in the Democrat minority leaders. Nancy Pelosi will be the majority leader after the new year, but she's still the minority leader. So President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence brought in the two Democrats to the Oval Office to talk about funding the rest of the government. And when I say rest of the government, I'm talking about there's already 70% of the government's already funded. This is about whether we're going to fund the rest of the 30%. And I find it very humorous as when they talk about funding as if it's actually an option. You know, maybe we'll fund it, maybe we won't. I mean, at the end of the day, they've got to fund the government. It's like whether we're going to pay our mortgage or not. I mean, we got to pay the mortgage. If we don't pay the mortgage, we got to sell the house. You got to pick one of the two. So the government funding issue is really a bunch of drama for nothing, but it's still important because the question is, what all are we going to fund? And that was what's discussed at the Oval Office. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. That was just a little tease there. But one other thing I wanted to note is this news came out that Stormy Daniels, all right, I don't usually like talking about this garbage, talking about the porn star Stormy Daniels, but this news story is pretty important here because yesterday a U.S. District Court judge ordered that Stormy Daniels, who is the porn star who sued President Trump months ago, and her lawyer, Michael Avenatti, which I'm sure many of you have seen on TV, well, they sued President Trump for defamation or something like that on a technicality. The suit didn't have any legs, if you will. It had no standing. Well, this U.S. District Court ruled yesterday that Stormy Daniels, her real name's Stephanie Clifford, which I'm going to call her by her real name. That's pretty common sense there. So Stephanie Clifford has to pay President Trump $300,000 to reimburse President Trump's attorney's fees, 75% of his total legal bill, plus another $1,000 in sanctions to punish Stephanie Clifford for having filed a meritless lawsuit. That's what I said. It had no legs. A meritless lawsuit against the president designed to chill his free speech rights. And that's according to President Trump's legal counsel. You know, the reason I brought this up is, and as I said, I don't usually like to talk about porn stars and all this garbage, but here's the important fact. And that is, and the media is not talking about this, but Michael Avenatti, Stephanie Clifford, that's her real name, that's what I'm going to call her, her screen name, Stormy Daniels, I'm going to call her Stephanie Clifford. So Michael Stephanie Clifford hired Michael Avenatti to be her attorney to sue Donald Trump, to sue the president, and guess what? Michael Avenatti totally exploited Stephanie Clifford. Totally exploited her. And this just came out a couple weeks ago. And how did he exploit her? He sued the president. He sued President Trump without her permission. And he fundraised hundreds of thousands of dollars he raised. And guess how much she has received of that? Zero. $0. Michael Avenatti, Stephanie Clifford's attorney, sued President Trump without his client's permission, and he fundraised and went on national television raising money for his legal fees and for his client, Ms. Clifford, and she hasn't received any of that. This just came out a couple weeks ago. But my point here is that the media and the Democrats and others want to talk about how President Trump exploits women and he's disrespectful to women, and conservatives have no respect for women. They don't allow women to take prominent positions in the Republican Party. And they go on and on and on about how conservatives are so bad to women. But in reality, it's the Democrats that are bad to women. And this is a prime example. Where's the Me Too movement? Where's the Me Too movement that is going to hold Michael Avenatti accountable for misusing his attorney-client privilege and for raking in hundreds of thousands of dollars and not giving any of it to his client, which that's where it was intended to go. And so that's a very interesting news story. But at the end of the day, this was a frivolous lawsuit. We said it from the beginning. And there was no wrongdoing on behalf of President Trump here when it comes to this legal exchange. And so Stormy Daniels, Stephanie Clifford, and Michael Avenatti owe President Trump $300,000. Here's the question, folks. Does Michael Avenatti still have that money? Does Michael Avenatti still have that money, or has he gone on lavish vacations, bought a couple cars, bought a new house with all the money that was supposed to go to his client? That's going to be interesting, but this reinforces the fact that if you're going to hire an attorney, you better hire a good one, because they can exploit you in a heartbeat. That's what happened with Miss Stephanie Clifford. And actually, part of me feels bad for her. Part of me has no sympathy at all for her. But the fact that Michael Avenatti exploited his attorney-client relationship by filing lawsuits without the client's permission and using the legal funds for his personal expenses, that's pretty bad. And part of me does feel bad for Miss Clifford. One other news story I wanted to talk about before we wrap up this segment, and at the top of the next segment, we're going to have on a guest, Michael Gardner, who is a senior director of communications for MediShare. For MediShare, which is basically a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. Many of you have heard their spots on American Family Radio. So Michael Gardner is going to come on from MediShare and tell us about their product, their service, and why you should get it. I know many friends who have it, and I hear great things about it. But this story I wanted to mention, I'll talk about it a little bit after the break. And this is chilling, folks. This is chilling. Investigators in Michigan, right outside of Detroit, had discovered the remains of 300 babies in a suburban Detroit cemetery. And this was not done legally. As disgusting as it is, it was not done legally. We're going to talk about that after the break, and we're going to tie this to the whole abortion agenda, the baby-killing agenda. Sandy Rios in the morning. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Every day in preborn centers across the country, young women in crisis find refuge. Here's Roxy, Nurse Director for Preborn at the Crisis Pregnancy Center in Southern California.
A lot of them come to us and they feel rejected, they feel alone, they're in a crisis situation, they don't know what to do, they don't know where to start. We believe that sharing the compassionate love of Jesus Christ is what really makes what we do work.
Through love and compassion, young women facing tough situations get to meet Jesus Christ and their unborn baby on ultrasound.
And I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds, and you'll receive a story and a picture of babies' lives that were spared. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com.
We need to hurry.
These crowds are unbelievable.
Oh, so awful this time of year. Do you have your gift?
Hey, right here.
I was thinking, what if these gifts aren't enough?
How could they be enough?
That's okay. Can you walk any faster?
It feels like we've been walking forever.
And just a little longer and it'll all be over.
It makes me wonder if it's all worth it.
It's worth it.
Are you sure we're going in the right direction?
Well, I'm just following that big light. There. That's the place.
Here?
I can't believe we're here.
Please, come in.
We've traveled a great distance.
And we bring gifts.
Gold.
Frankincense.
And myrrh. We've come to see your baby.
I know. I'm Mary. This is Joseph. And this.
Yes.
We know.
This holiday season, remember what all the hubbub should be about. Merry Christmas from Focus on the Family.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Stearns with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Caitlin Bird. I'm a nursing major and I'm a junior. The School of Nursing here at TMU, it's different than any other, you know, university or college out there. Every time we come into class, no matter which nursing professor it is, we always begin in devotion and prayer, and we become a family. They actually allow the students to get up and do devotion and prayer. We pray with each other and for each other, and that's just what sets us apart from any other school of nursing out there.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
It's okay to teach kids how to read, but it's not okay to teach them to read the Bible, at least not in a government school. A teacher in Smithville, Texas, faced national backlash after she had her first graders recite a Bible verse, a verse that taught kids to love people and run away from evil.
I don't have anything against religion. I actually love Jesus. I do. I love Jesus. I love his teachings. I love his practices, and it's been a big impact in my life. I don't believe that that belongs in the public school system.
That's Charlie Lucko, one of the parents who complained about the Bible recitation.
It was disturbing to me. Putting aside the fact that it's unconstitutional, right, and illegal, I believe every child, you know, deserves to be raised up, developing their own values or the values that are based in their families.
But according to the law of the land, Bible-based values are no longer welcome in government schools. I'm Todd Stearns.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios in the morning. My name is Walker Wildman and I'm guest hosting. I'm sitting in for Sandy Rios this morning. I assume Sandy will be back tomorrow. Is that right, Rob? All right, Sandy will
back
be back
tomorrow.
In the captain's chair tomorrow morning. But in the meantime, you're stuck with me for the next 35 minutes or so. And if you don't like it, then I don't know what to tell you. But I'm here, and I'll be with you the next 35 minutes. Of course, I'm kidding. I hope everyone likes me. And for those who don't like me, I'll probably get an email. But that's all right. We're going to have on Michael Gardner. He's actually on the line with us right now. Michael is the Senior Director of Communications for MediShare, and that's Christian Healthcare Sharing. I know you've heard the spots on American Family Radio for at least it seems like several years now, and I hear great things about it, so it's good to have Michael on to talk firsthand about this product here. Michael, welcome to Sandy Rios in the morning.
Good morning, Walker. Good to speak with you.
Hey, Michael, give our listeners, you know, this is actually very relevant, and this topic of healthcare is going to be relevant for the foreseeable future, for years to come. Probably, it'll probably be a political issue into eternity. But, you know, there's but in real-life situations, and I know family and friends who have to deal with this, and that is the extremely high cost of health care in America, and it's actually going up because of poor policies under the Obama administration and others, but I digress. Michael, give our listeners a brief overview of what MediShare is and maybe how it could relate to them.
Absolutely. So MediShare is a healthcare sharing ministry, and what we really do here at Christian Care Ministry is pull people together in that program in a community. So we have 400,000 members, more than 400,000 today, all across the country who every month come together and share in one another's medical bills. So it's not health insurance. I think a lot of times people have that misconception that this is a Christian health insurance company, and it couldn't be further from the truth. It's a healthcare sharing ministry, and it's a ministry because prayer and sharing and a biblical foundation are at the heart of everything we do here in the program for our members.
Mm-hmm. Well, Michael, let's break this down into a practical sense, and that was a good overview there. But let's just say, hypothetically, let's just say I signed up for MediShare, and I pay my monthly, there's a monthly fee, if you will. And so let's just say I go, I've got a runny nose, I go to the doctor, I pay my, maybe there's a copay, or tell our listeners, so we're signed up, let's just say hypothetically I'm signed up with MediShare, I go to the doctor for just a checkup or something, tell our listeners how that would play out.
Sure. So the process is pretty simple, actually. You have a MediShare membership card. You make an appointment with a provider, hopefully choosing someone from a network. We have give our members access to a network of providers all across the country. And that's one of the great things about MediShare is it's portable. It doesn't matter where you live. You can access members from that network. There are, I think, more than 700,000 doctors and specialists, hospitals, imaging centers. So ideally, you choose a provider from that network. You make an appointment. When you get there, you show your MediShare card. You pay a small provider fee. It's usually about $35. And then you get the care you need, and the provider sends the bill to MediShare, and we do the rest to facilitate sharing on behalf of our members. So you mentioned an interesting situation. You know, it's just everyday run-of-the-mill kind of stuff, you know, an eye infection or a sinus infection or a runny nose and that kind of stuff. We actually give all of our members access to a telemedicine platform at no cost. So I can actually call a doctor on the phone, talk to a board-certified physician in my state, and from, you know, clicking a button to see a doctor to, you know, talking to that doctor, getting a diagnosis, and having him or her send a prescription into my local pharmacy, that whole process might take 30 minutes, and there's no cost to our members to do that. So we always encourage people for everyday things to use that process as well because it helps reduce your out-of-pocket expenses.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's great explanation there, Michael, as far as, you know, how this would look on a day-to-day situation. You know, I know people I go to church with, families, and maybe the father is the sole breadwinner when it comes to income, and or maybe the wife has a part-time job that doesn't have benefits or things like that. You know, I know some of them who actually where the husband's on maybe his work insurance, but it's more affordable for them to sign up his wife and maybe kids on something like MediShare, so kind of have a split plan there. But tell our listeners, I'm on your website now, down at the, or a little about halfway down the page, there's something called the Share Calculator. So if folks want to kind of get just a brief overview of what the cost might be for them, is this Share Calculator on your website? Is that what that's for?
It is. Yep. If listeners go to MediShare, that's MediShare.com, there's a Share Calculator there. There's information that explains how the program works. But, you know, our average family right now, the monthly share is right around $400 per month for a family. And so, you know, the great thing we're hearing from members is about what they do with the savings. You know, compared to other healthcare options that are out there, MediShare is a relatively low-cost solution. And so the great thing we're hearing now from our members is that they're able to do more with that savings in their family, in their church, and their community. You know, people are adopting kids or sponsoring children, starting ministries and small businesses of their own and those sorts of things. And so, you know, that's the heart of our ministry. We want to make sure that we enable our members to go out and have the greatest impact that they can, whatever that looks like to them, however God's called them. We just hope to be here to support them, and MediShare is the primary way we do that today.
Amen, amen. Appreciate it, Michael. Hey, give our listeners your website one more time, and if they want to know more information, maybe they want to look into it for their family, tell them the website.
Yeah, it's a great time of the year right now. People are making important decisions. If you go to MediShare, that's MediShare.com, that's a great place for information. There's also a phone number there if you'd like to call and talk to someone. I mentioned this is quite a different thing from health insurance. And so if people have questions about exactly how it works and what this would look like for their family, we would definitely encourage them to call in and have a conversation. We're happy to answer questions.
All right, Michael, God bless you. Y'all keep up the good work, and I appreciate you coming on.
Oh, you too, Walker. Thanks so much for your time.
All right, well, there you have it. That's MediShare. You've heard the spots on American Family Radio. Obviously, we like the product, or it may not be called technically a product because they're a not-for-profit, but you like the idea, and that is MediShare. And we would not be playing the spots on AFR if we did not approve and really like the product or the offer that is MediShare. And so MediShare.com, MediShare, SHARE.com, if you want to find out more information about that. And, you know, here's one thing we can take from that, and we can tie this directly into politics and what's going on in Washington. In other countries, there is not this option. In many other countries, in foreign countries, there is no option if the major monopoly of insurance providers is outpricing and jacking up the price for everybody. In other countries, you just have to deal with it. I mean, people are just poor. They're just broke. But in America, there are options. There are creative ideas like this, creative, innovative ideas like this, like MediShare, that can help alleviate some of the cost for average families across the country. And so that's another reason to be thankful that we live in America, another reason to be thankful and to keep fighting about these policies in Washington, D.C., folks. You may not think it affects you on your day-to-day life, but oh, does it. The policies that come down from Washington, D.C., that come down from your state legislators, these policies affect our day-to-day lives. And one reason that MediShare and other Christian healthcare sharing ministries are doing so well is because the government has overregulated the healthcare insurance industry to where it's unbearable. The prices are unbearable. So thank God for MediShare, MediShare.com, to go find out more information about that. You know, I talked about this story before the break, and this story is absolutely disgusting. And if your kids are listening, I would recommend probably turning the radio off, and maybe you can come back and listen to the podcast later at our website, AFR.net. But this is just outside of Detroit, Michigan. And investigators, there's not much information about this story right now, which doesn't surprise me because it's from the Associated Press, and they're probably going to try to bury this however they can. But nonetheless, investigators outside of Detroit, Michigan, said they've discovered the remains of 300, they call it fetuses, I call it babies, 300 babies, infants, that were stored in plastic containers at a cemetery in suburban Detroit. And this right here, folks, this is absolutely disgusting. It's devastating. You almost can't even talk about it. But here's the thing. This is a real life example. There's 300 dead children in a cemetery in plastic containers in Detroit, Michigan. This is what happens in China. This is stuff that happens in North Korea. This is absolutely unacceptable, and here's what I want to point out. For all of our fellow Americans that say every day, we're for women's rights, we're for abortion, we're for pro-choice, and they just brag and go on and on about their position on abortion, if we were to walk our neighbors, our friends who disagree with us on this issue, who say they're, quote, pro-choice, if we were to walk them or drive them or fly them to Detroit, leave the evidence untouched of the babies in plastic containers in Detroit, if we were to walk them up to the cemetery, open the container, and let them look inside, and then we ask them, what do you think about this? Do you think this is okay? Do you think this is quote, pro-choice? Do you think the Constitution protects this? I would guarantee you that 95% of the, quote, pro-choice Americans, if we took them to this cemetery in Detroit, showed them the horror that is abortion, I will almost guarantee you that they would say this is unacceptable. This is absolutely unacceptable. I do not agree with this. And that would change the hearts and minds of those people. But what the media has done, what Washington has done, what the Democrats have done, what Hollywood has done, is they've desensitized America to where abortion, baby killing, is a mere political issue that people disagree on, and then we move on. Meanwhile, the babies are being killed. And I know this is graphic, I know this is very detailed, but this is reality. This is reality. We have to talk about it in plain language that everybody understands, because here's what happens. In Nazi Germany, the Jews were dehumanized, and, you know, people didn't go around talking about how Hitler had a pro-choice. You know, Hitler's just a pro-choice, and Hitler thinks it's the government's individual right to choose who lives or not. You know, people didn't go around saying that. Well, actually they did, and that was the problem. But here's the deal. We have to talk about this. We have to talk about Nazi Germany as how it actually happened, and that is Hitler and his other murderer friends killed all the Jews, killed millions of Jews. That's what happened. And the same thing is happening in a slightly different form, a slightly different way, but the same thing is happening in America, and that is doctors, our so-called doctors across the country, some of them aren't even doctors. Some of this stuff's done totally illegally. But people across the country, procedures are taking place where babies are dying every day, innocent children in their mother's womb. Sometimes they're out of the mother's womb. Sometimes they're born, and then they're killed. Hence, Kermit Gosnell, if I have his name right, or Kermit Gosnell in up, yeah, I believe it was in Ohio, like Cleveland or Columbus, Ohio. And so these stories, this is not an uncommon occurrence. And so next time you're talking to your friends or someone that is, quote, pro-choice or for abortion or for baby killing, bring up this story. Say, is this okay? Is this what we want America to be like? And matter of fact, do we want to expand this and make it to where, you know, unlimited abortions for babies that are 8 months old in their mother's womb? I highly doubt that an American with a good conscience would, and at least some kind of moral convictions, would be okay with that. But we have to bring it back to base level conversations, and we have to humanize it, because that's what it's about. It's not mere political. It's also about life. Moving on to another topic, and we'll take calls after the break. Here's the phone number, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. I want to talk about this prison reform bill. I know Sandy's talked about it some, but this prison reform bill, you know, there are some friends of ours that are for this bill. And, you know, I think we just disagree with them on this issue. But some of our friends and allies in the conservative and the Christian and the evangelical movement are for this prison reform bill. All right? And so I'm just going to provide you my fair, what I think is a fair analysis of this bill. Good people can disagree on this, but here's my analysis. This prison reform bill, based on the facts that I've read and the actual text of the bill, which is important to read, talking points on TV are one thing, the text of the bill is a whole other ballgame. According to the text of this bill as it stands today, this bill, this First Step Act that President Trump is supporting, I'll talk about it a little bit more after the break, this bill is going to let out some criminals that we don't want in our streets. This First Step Act, unless it's majorly overhauled and fixed, is going to let out some criminals, let them out early, might I mention, let some criminals out early in our streets that we don't want in our streets. And I'll talk about a few details before we take calls after the break. 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning. Walker Wildman here with you. We'll be back in a few minutes.
But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Ramin Parsa, a former Muslim who is now a Christian pastor who fled Iran as a religious refugee, was arrested for privately sharing his conversion testimony in the Mall of America in Bloomington, Minnesota. He fled persecution in Iran and Turkey, only to find persecution in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Parsa was stabbed in Iran for converting to Christianity. He did not expect to face religious persecution in America. He concluded, "It seems like the only people who can be bullied in America are the Christians. This should not be in a free country."
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The Bible is clear that sexual energy is designed by God to be channeled exclusively into the relationship between a husband and a wife in marriage. Further, Paul says in Romans 1 that sex outside of marriage leads to the dishonoring, or literally the devaluing, of the human body. There is something destructive to the human body in indiscriminate sexual activity. Without even knowing what they were doing, the Centers for Disease Control has again confirmed the truth of Scripture. The CDC sent out an alarming release indicating that sexually transmitted diseases are at all-time highs, and one of them may become completely resistant to antibiotics soon. Bottom line, when God said in 1 Thessalonians 4 that it is His will that we abstain from sexual immorality, He meant it.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. On Capitol Hill today, a formidable group of American women, mostly hailing from the Middle East, will be warning lawmakers and their staff about the threat posed to females by the totalitarian Islamic code known as Sharia. Their message is especially urgent since this brutally misogynistic doctrine is not only evident in their native lands, but increasingly in this country as well. Members of this Middle Eastern Women's Coalition, led by a best-selling Turkish-American author named Rabia Kazan, will describe such egregious manifestations of Sharia as honor killings, child marriage, and female genital mutilation. The coalition's message is that those who seek to impose Sharia worldwide are on the march. They must be challenged and resisted, not accommodated and appeased. We must start by heeding and amplifying these strong female voices speaking out for women and girls being silenced, and worse, by Sharia supremacism. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio. Our website is AFR.net. And if you didn't catch the whole show, or you just want to go back and listen again, or maybe send the show, email it to your family or friends, or share it on social media, AFR.net. AFR.net is the website. You can find the Sandy Rios in the Morning podcast there. You can also find all the other show archives, the daily programs, from American Family Radio. Many of them are posted at AFR.net. A great way to listen to AFR, maybe if at your own convenience. You can listen to the podcast and you can listen live at your own convenience. You can download the app on your smartphone, the American Family Radio mobile app on your smartphone. Also catch the podcast there. But I was talking about this prison reform bill, and before we go to the phone lines, which we will, appreciate you folks calling in. The number to call in is 888-589-8840. A couple of the crimes that are a couple of the criminals that will still be eligible for early release in this First Step Act. This is according to the text of the bill. And some have accused conservatives of spreading misinformation on this bill. This is information. This is fact. Here are the criminals that will be eligible for early release under the First Step Act. Someone who has committed rape as part of a war crime. Bank robbers, bank robbery by force. Drive-by shootings. These are the crimes that people would still be eligible for early release. And remember, they tell us this is for nonviolent offenders. This is for nonviolent criminals, like you know, tax fraud or something like that. They say this is only for nonviolent offenders. Well, let's read the bill. Moving on here, this is another crime that would be eligible for early release in this First Step Act. Assaulting a law enforcement officer. That's somehow nonviolent. Carjacking with intent to cause death or serious bodily harm. Assaulting a child or infant. Yeah, let's let the child abusers out early. That's a great idea. No, that's a horrible idea. Let's see, moving on here. The list is so long. It's like 50 different crimes that are, I would say, violent crimes. Performing biological experiments for torture purposes. We let them out early. Moving on here, I'm being cynical here, folks. When I say that this is a very bad idea, but one or two more things is, you know what? Thank you, Rob, for reminding me. I have a clip on this. Tom Cotton, the senator from Arkansas. Let's listen to what he has to say. He's bringing some truth about this First Step Act. Let's listen.
We have a recidivism problem in this country. Prisoners should be given a helping hand in prison to get back on their feet once they pay their debt to society, so they won't be a menace to society. The House passed a bill that was a first step towards that. Unfortunately, in the Senate, it's become a early release and sentencing reduction bill. As you mentioned, up to 2,500 serious drug traffickers are going to be released almost immediately, within weeks or months of this bill passing. And remember, Tucker, these are the 2,500 that were so dangerous, not even Barack Obama would commute their sentences. It is an almost mathematical certainty that someone is going to commit a heinous crime if this bill passes.
All right, well, there you have it, folks. A great place to keep up with this, and I don't always recommend other, you know, sources, but Conservative Review, Daniel Horowitz. Sandy's had Daniel on multiple times, not just about this issue, but other issues. At conservativereview.com, Daniel Horowitz is on top of this. He has the facts. He's read the bill, actually, unlike others, and he knows what's in it. And so, here's what the last thing I want to say on this, then I'm going to take the calls. The last thing I want to say on this is, if this were President Obama or any other Democrat in the Oval Office trying to pass this, quote, prison reform bill, conservatives would be up in arms. Conservatives would rightfully be up in arms, and I'm talking metaphorically here, because we would say, and we would be right in this, that we don't need to be letting criminals out early. They need to serve their time. We don't need to be letting criminals out early. They need to serve their time. But now that President Trump is behind it, and I would argue it's not really him behind it, it's Jared Kushner behind it. That's what the facts show. Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, is the one pushing this. I honestly think President Trump has no real deep vested interest here. I believe he has no deep vested personal interest here. I think he's just going along with it because his son-in-law wants to do it. Not that that's inherently wrong, but the bill is a bad bill. That's my point here. The bill is a bad bill. But I want to point this out because as conservatives, we have to be careful about this go along to get along just because President Trump's right 95% of the time on stuff. or 90% of the time, or whatever the statistic is from a conservative viewpoint. Because on this, President Trump, with all due respect, is wrong. This is a bad bill. It's anti-law enforcement. It's going to let criminals that we don't want in our streets early. And that was not the original intent, of this bill. So we need to be careful here. We need to read the text of the language of the bill. And we don't need to just say, sure, it's a great idea just because President Trump likes the idea. We need to actually study the issues ourselves and be fair-minded when it comes to these issues. But I'm going to stop ranting. I'm going to go to Ken in Arkansas. Ken, welcome to Sandy Rios in the morning.
Good morning. I'd like to share two comments with you that are connected. First is, Kermit Gosnell was out of the Philadelphia area, and most of the babies that he aborted were born alive, and then he killed them. The second thing is, what would be the reaction of people if those 300 containers in that cemetery contained puppies or kittens?
You're exactly right,
Ken. They would be up in arms about killing little animals.
Yep. Appreciate the call, Ken. You know, that's a great point, and that's a sobering point, that if this were animals, you know, pets, in this cemetery, 300 of them, PETA and everybody, even people, even probably conservatives, would be going, oh, this is so inhumane. We need to get this figured out. Somebody needs to be charged with a crime, whoever did this. You know, but it's babies, and half of America's numb to it because we've dehumanized children. We've dehumanized infants in their mother's womb. And, you know, my wife is carrying my two sons. They're about 23 weeks old. They'll be born in April. They'll come into this world in April. But I talk, you know, the way we have to get back to this, get back on the right track on this, is we first have to start being careful about the language we use. We can't go along with Satan's language. And so I tell people, I've got three sons. I don't have an 18-month-old and then two on the way. No, I have three sons. I have my 18-month-old son, and then I have my 23-year-old twins that my wife is still carrying in her womb. And so we have to talk about it like that because they're babies. They're babies. If my twin boys happened for some reason born today, there's like a 75 to 80% chance that they would be healthy and live and have a healthy life because the modern medicine is so great that these children can live outside of the womb at 18, 19, 20 weeks. I had a neighbor whose son was born at like 20 weeks. He was the size of a $1 bill, and he's happy and going to school now. He's like 5 or 6 years old. So we need to talk about our children, even our children that are still in the womb. We need to talk about them as if they're our kids. You know, we don't need to say, well, you know, they'll be here. No, they're here. When they were conceived, they're here. So we need to talk about this in a biblical worldview. Dan in Vermont, I'm sorry, Virginia. Dan in Virginia, welcome to Sandy Rios in the morning. Hey, Dan, are you there? All right. Hey, Dan, one more shot. Are you there? Can you hear me? All right, Dan, maybe eating breakfast or something. Not sure about that. We'll go to Becky in Oklahoma. Becky, welcome to Sandy Rios in the morning.
Good morning, Walker. I just wanted to say that is most disturbing about those babies. That's the first I've heard of it, of course. But the Bible talks about call them good, bad, and bad, good. And the McCameys have a song out that says, getting used to the dark. And I just feel like even some Christians are getting used to the dark.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Becky. Thank you for the call. Becky from Oklahoma there. And, you know, Becky's onto something there. She's right. You know, sometimes the body of Christ can become numb to issues that God cares about. And this is one of those issues, and one of the ways we need to stay in touch with reality, stay in touch with God's Word, is to stay close to God and His Word and what it says about it, Rob.
I think that's a profound statement she made.
Mm.
We've gotten where we see the dark and just keep on walking through it. And it's really sad. Our country must turn back to God's truth.
Amen.
His Word.
Yeah, amen. And you know, this may need to go without noting. It may could go without noting, but you know, we're all sinners. We're all born into sin. That's what Scripture says. Ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the garden, in Genesis, we're all born into sin. And so, you know, AFR, the people on AFR aren't talking as if somehow we got it all right and everybody else has it all wrong and they need to do what we tell them to. No, we are simply, as Christians, we are pointing out the darkness. We are shining a light onto the darkness, if you will, or into the darkness, in hopes that we will wake people up, in hopes that people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's the end goal for us. There's no hidden agenda here. We are exposing the works of Satan in hopes that people's eyes will be open to the darkness and they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the goal, plain and simple. We're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But we know and we are submitted to Jesus Christ and His authority, and we're trying to let others know about that. John in Pennsylvania. John, welcome to Sandy Rios.
Hi, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing well, John. Appreciate that the ask there.
Hello.
Hey, John, I'm here. I got you. Go ahead.
Oh, I am so tired of hearing about Stormy Daniels in this Trump hush money. A couple things. Back in the 90s, they dragged it out with Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky for how long in the 90s? I remember it. And most women, if you're married, even got a girlfriend. Most women, they find out you cheated on them, they feel betrayed. They'll throw you out on the street, man. And on Saturday Night Live, they did a parody where Stormy was on the phone with which Alec Baldwin played Donald Trump. And she says, if I don't get my money, I'm going to let it all out. I'm going to tell everybody about our affair. I mean, it's ridiculous, man. Thank you.
Yeah. I appreciate it, John. Yeah, there's folks trying to blackmail President Trump, for better or worse. So, but that's what happens in politics. It's nasty. It's dirty. And the Democrats and the lefties will do anything they can to destroy President Trump on multiple ways. Joe in Texas, last call for the day. Joe in Texas, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Thank you, Walker. Good morning. Appreciate you taking my call. I just wanted to report in reference to what you said, which was spot on, about abortion. Some very godly and powerful news coming from Oklahoma and Texas, in case any of your listeners are unaware, that really could affect not just Oklahoma and Texas, but the whole country. Mm. And that is that in Oklahoma, a state senator, Joseph Silk, has reintroduced a bill to outright abolish abortion in the state.
Amen.
And make it the first abortion-free state. And he needs our support. And then in Texas, Representative Tony Tenderholt from Arlington is going to reintroduce the same legislation in Texas to abolish abortion in Texas.
Amen, Joe. Hey, appreciate the good news report there from Texas and Oklahoma. States across the country are waking up to this, and they're clamping down on the killing of unborn children. That is a good news. That's a praise report. Praise God, but we got to keep it up until all babies are safe in their mother's womb. Sandy Rios in the Morning. Stay tuned to American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.